I agree, but how about that Rush Limbaugh?
Rush Limbaugh, I mean, I don't... What he said
how do you
wasn't
know that
bad.
Money's going to go to them?
Well,
no,
I mean, he's...
The fucking fucked up thing that Rush Limbaugh said was when he said that Obama's only helping Haiti because he wants to score points with the black community.
I was building up to that.
Yeah, that was bad. But, I mean, look.
Finishing it.
If Obama has shown anything, it's that he doesn't give a shit about black people.
Obama, just like George Bush, doesn't care about black people.
You know what I want is I want a telethon for Haiti, right? And then in the middle, I want some gay celebrity to be like, Barack Obama does not care about gay people.
Yes.
No, yeah, yes. That would be so good if some if Mike Myers,
I know. Kanye
Mike Myers
West.
Came up and he's like, oh, Barack Obama does not care about white people.
No. What, not white people, gay people.
Why gay people? Oh, because of the no, don't ask, don't tell.
All we need to know is that if Kanye and Mike Myers are put on screen together, fantastic
that,
shit happens.
That will never happen.
They'll never allow that to ever happen.
Oh, please.
They'll never allow
Kanye's
Kanye.
Not going to be allowed to be on live TV ever again. He's not allowed on live TV. No, he's not.
At least
not unless they want that.
Right, unless they want it to happen. Right?
Yeah. They need a reality show with Kanye West.
No, I mean, he would never do a reality show because he's fucking, first of all, he's rich. Second of all,
do you
want to
let the world know all about who he is?
No,
really?
Having a reality show is
he has several
like,
avenues for that.
Yeah, having a reality
show
is for
example,
like,
his music.
But that's not how you get to know the real
Kanye. If
you want
to call it that.
The real Kanye is the man who gets up on stage and yells things.
What do you mean the real Kanye?
That's the real Kanye.
No, he's a screwed up guy. Like, he's just a messed up guy.
Gay-fish.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel bad for him. I feel bad for all these freaking guys who are all maladjusted, man. Hey, how about Wyclef, though, man? He's doing a good thing, man. He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
He is. He's a good guy.
Bomb supporter.
What's that have to do with anything?
That means Nevin's allowed to like him. If he
90% of black people are Obama
supporters. If he wasn't an Obama supporter, then Nevin would hope that he would never find any of his family in Haiti. He's like, I hope they're all dead, because he's a Republican.
I wouldn't hope
Why does he
dead.
Have to be a Republican if he's not an Obama supporter? I'm not a Republican. I'm not
say
an
that
Obama
at all.
Supporter.
I know many libertarians now.
Okay, who else do you know?
I can't who's say, but I'll tell you off radio.
You can't say?
I can't say.
They don't want to be exposed for being...
I don't want to
expose... Oh, is it like a celebrity?
I have tons of celebrities. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of celebrities who are, like, in the libertarian...
It's all people who used to be Republicans, who aren't anymore.
Well, no, well,
and their
I'm
nearest,
saying...
like, place to go is libertarian.
Well, I read an interesting article that a lot of people are afraid in the industry. A lot of people in the industry are afraid, and we should get to the podcast, but a lot of people are afraid...
We are in the podcast.
We are in the podcast.
Oh, no, we have to... All right, well, we can talk about this later, but I was just... They're afraid to... There's a stigma if... And you feel... They feel like they can't get work if they don't toe the liberal
they
line
are correct.
Or say anything.
They are actually
it's
correct.
Probably
that
true.
Is,
it's
if
really
you're
bad.
Not gay, liberal, or Jewish, you have a strike against you.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Don't take all three.
And also, you know, that's it's partially because of the union control of the stuff. It's just bad. But you see the unions, man, when on the Obama, like, Cadillac tax, all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait a minute. Now the tax trickles down to people. They're going to pass the tax. Oh, you finally realize that companies pass the tax on to the fucking... So dumb. So horrible.
I don't like that at all. I think that's terrible.
So awful.
I actually never knew that GE, it was GE or GM. GM had the like, you don't work here anymore, we'll just pay you forever.
Yeah, that's what they have to do.
A lot of companies have policies
that's horrible.
Like that.
Did you see that the California state, I read a really interesting article by George Will, who's fucking awesome, where he called California a unionocracy, and basically the state is run by the teachers union and the public employees union, the SEIU.
Oh, and the, whatchamacallit, the prison guards union.
Yeah, the prison guards union, and all the service employees international union, and they have a thing, public service employees in California, that no matter what job you do, you can retire at 50 years old at 90% pay for life.
Yeah, yeah.
That
which
is absolutely retarded.
That is
unions
awesome.
Are really horrible.
This
anyway,
is, this is what our good friend Chris is involved in.
Government jobby job.
I tell you, man.
What? Actually, the ultimate scam.
Chris works for the government?
Yeah.
Is he in a union?
Yeah. I would assume. Horrible.
The ultimate scam is if you go in the military.
Yeah.
And then you retire and get your military pension.
Yeah.
If you join the post office from the military, they credit you for all your military years of service.
Yeah.
So you start at, let's say you spent 15 years in the Air Force, right? You start at like a pay grade of a 15-year post service employee.
Fuck yeah.
Right? Then you work there. Then you work there for like 5 more years, whatever, right?
Yeah.
You retire.
20 years.
And then you get your military pension.
Yeah.
And you get post office pension.
Woot.
Fucking float on that shit forever, son.
Dude, that's horrible, man. That means
that
everyone
horrible.
Else in the state is subsidizing
that,
your laziness.
That shit
ass.
Is terrible. That
that's,
shit is terrible.
That's
I
so
like pensions
up,
when you're really old. 65-year-old guy, I think
it
that's
has nothing
great.
To do with that.
Retire
if you,
now.
You should contribute to it yourself. I don't know. Why does everybody else in the state have to pay for your bullshit?
I agree with you.
Ridiculous.
We are in agreement.
All right.
Amazing, but true. Eric and I are in agreement.
Well, I think you're getting greedy now that you're about to make some money. Nevin's like, shit, I want to hold on to all this.
No, I'm prepared. I don't mind paying my taxes. It's going to happen. It's what's going to happen. It's okay.
The tax burden here in California is ridiculous. What it is. But anyway, no, but that's you know, it's a common phenomenon that as people get older and accrue wealth, they become more conservative because conservatism is typically...
Well, they have more shit to lose.
Period. I have plenty of shit to lose. I'm not old. It has nothing to do with that. Policy is policy. I don't want other people to be burdened. I don't like hurting other people to help myself. I think it's
interesting
wrong.
Way of phrasing it.
No, but that's what socialism is. Socialism is taking money from some people and giving it to special interests.
I love you so much.
I don't like that.
We should stop.
You know who probably doesn't have discussions like this at the dinner table?
No.
Is
this a dinner table?
Kinda, it is. Well, we cleaned it up and, that's true. You know.
The beautiful cast of Jersey Shore.
Yeah. All right. Let's do an official start if we start the podcast. Right.
Hey.
Hello and welcome. We've been talking for a while. But only because we've been gone for so long.
I know. It's been a hiatus.
We have a lot to talk about.
Sure. I blame Nevin mostly.
What did I do this
time?
But
I'm Howard Hahn.
I'm pretty sure it's all my fault.
Well, I'm just talking about our month-long absence. I blame you.
Is it my fault?
Well,
I've been busy.
It depends on how you want to define your fault. If you want to say your fault is every time I said for the past 4 weeks, let's record a show, and then you said yes, and then you were not home... Then that would be technically your fault, I suppose.
I think it's kind of my fault. I'm
not here to assign blame. We are here to talk about exciting things. We are joined by a third chair this week. Everyone's favorite guest.
Wait, I don't even get to introduce myself.
No, you're Nevin Densham. Ha ha.
Wait a minute. You interrupted my freaking introduction, you selfish bastard. I'm Eric Nair. I am everyone's favorite guest. I want to say this, Nevin.
Yes.
And in your defense.
Yes.
Howard, you have a longtime girlfriend. Nevin has to hustle, man. He can't always record
listen,
the podcast,
listen,
man. It's
he
not
was, you, he was not
don't
out
judge
he was
lest
not
ye
out
be judged.
Hustling. All right.
I'm sure once or twice I was out hustling.
Every day I'm hustling,
every
hustling, hustle every
I'll
day.
I'll pull that back.
I would give you credit now. Yes, I would give you credit if it was like for quality, but you were just going for sheer quantity, and that was it was
quantity.
It was maddening.
My quantity is not even that much quantity either.
I beg to differ, sir.
I went on a lot of dates.
You were getting close to my ridiculous credit card bill
level.
I will never
match you.
My horrible credit card burdens. I looked at my credit card.
Which Nevin has only added to, by the way.
I owe you $110.
You do. But I've graciously...
But I'm about to be able to pay you.
I hope you are. I hope you are one day. You know that I've been giving you like 2.5 points of juice on that.
That's fine. You got to put your juice on it, as you say.
It's up to like $3,000, dude. Like, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I am so glad to be back on the show. I'm so glad we're doing the show. I really, I missed it, and I missed you guys. Even not like I don't
you
see
been
you
been hanging
guys,
out all the time.
Yeah,
I wish that we had been talking about Jersey Shore, like, for the past month. Because I am so enamored with that show.
I agree.
And I just want to point...
I don't like reality shows, but
I want to point this out to everybody, all right? Mm. Howard Hahn was the first motherfucking person... on that bandwagon.
Now, to be fair, you're the first motherfucking person on almost every bandwagon.
I just want to point out that adds to his prestige. It's not like I fucking saw it on the soup.
I was like,
this show is going to be fucking phenomenal. Right. We have to watch it day one.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And it was great. It's great.
And it is brilliant.
My hero, Mike, the situation. Is
no,
finally
he's
gone
the
to
worst person
down.
Alive. No, the worst person on the show is already off the show. But the
Angelina.
But the second worst person.
Who still gets billed.
She's, you know what it is I think they couldn't not put her in the credits, like, at the beginning, and then they just got lazy, and they're like, let's just leave
Well, her. I mean, they it's not just that they got lazy, I mean, they record those shows weeks in advance, and I mean, they're in the can for, they can't just, like, cut it out of the, they need a certain, also, shows have to fill a certain amount of time, so if you cut that out, then you have to fill it with an extra couple seconds.
You
so
do
it's
know
like,
the Snooki.
Yeah, exactly.
Cut two.
And it's really hard to fill, like, really small pieces of time. Like, that's hard. Like, what are you going to do? Like, show somebody's ass for a second? I mean,
well,
you could
that's
do
actually pretty easy for
you could show
like
somebody
this.
Knocked out on the ground.
You could.
Which would be...
Is that what you called it?
Dude, queer street is a very common expression in boxing. If you watch boxing instead
I've
of that
never
bullshit
heard it.
MMA.
But that gentleman was on queer street.
Yeah, he was.
He could not get off
weird homophobic boxing channel that you
watched? No, but it was way before... the boxing is much older than MMA. And queer street.
Gay is new.
We're just giving you a hard time. It's also because you said he's on queer street.
When he had his ass up in the air. And we're like, that's a great idea. That's great, dude. That's hilarious.
That's true. I didn't think of that, but it did take on a whole new meaning.
That's what I thought you were intimating when you said that. And I was like...
I wish I had been, because that's great. I wish I had
brilliant
been.
Brilliant is what it was.
Yeah, all right. So
shit.
I feel like there's too much to recap from the very beginning.
Yeah, we can't go over it all.
We can just talk about tonight.
Let's talk about this 2-hour block. I don't know why they're burning through the last few episodes so quickly, though.
Well, what do you mean burning through them? Oh, you mean just
because they're jamming what is essentially 4 weeks worth of content, which is the last 3 regular episodes and the reunion show. Yeah. They're burning through those in 2 weeks.
Well, it may be that they have something in the middle of the season that they have to get to.
Yeah.
I don't know. They have that Real World DC, I think, that they're replacing it with, which I'm sure they're sorry they made that decision now because it's been such a runaway hit, Jersey Shore. Yeah. And I'm sure Real World DC is going to be lame. So, you know, I mean...
I want to just put on the record right now, fuck Real World DC.
Yeah.
And this is my reason for it.
Real World is dumb.
This is all out of my pay grade here.
The reason that I'm angry at that show is that in the trailers, they showed me after the premiere. They're like, next week on the Real World DC. They show footage of, like, this kid. It looks like he falls, like, they're sitting on, like, their stoop drinking or whatever. He falls over, like, onto his neck.
Like, wounds himself.
Like, no, like they're like, don't move. And they call, like, an ambulance and they fucking... And I'm like, this is great. Like, that's what I want to see. Right? And then I fucking TiVo the next week's episode. And I sit there for an hour waiting for this fucking stupid kid that I already hate to fall off and break his neck. And it doesn't fucking happen.
Oh, that's
nice. There's even a moment towards the end of the episode where they're all sitting on the stoop and kind of drinking and they're, like, goofing around. And this girl gives him, like, a little playful shove. And I'm like, this is it. This is when it's like, oh, this little joke turns into terrible tragedy. But no.
No one can see my eyes freak out as I visualized if I was that guy being shoved off a stoop and falling on my neck. I just freaked out.
And
it's not out.
It's not even like a, it's like a pretty high fucking stoop. Yeah. It's like a, almost like a full flight of stairs up, right? But like.
Shit, dude.
But it's, she's just like, boop. No. And he's like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, fall. And no, but he doesn't fall. I mean, it's not like I was really rooting for the fall in real life. I knew he fell.
You know
I was waiting for the fall, though.
You were waiting for the entertainment.
Yeah, but it didn't happen. So
sadly,
fuck that show, dude.
Because
you know what? Jersey Shore? They're like, next week on Jersey Shore,
gonna be a
fist
fight.
Knock the fuck
and you know what?
Out.
We're not going to give you just one. We're going to give you two. Yeah.
We had a good knockout today. We had a good knockout on today's episode.
One punch.
No, well, we don't know
one
what
punch.
Happened. We don't know. We didn't know.
I'm going to believe Ronnie
I believe Ronnie.
I don't know if I believe Ronnie when he says a guy took a swing at him.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
if
I would say that if I had, you know,
I would
done that.
Bro, I'm not lying to you, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro, I'm not lying,
I wouldn't lie to you. I wouldn't lie. Yeah, I wouldn't lie to the police who were about to arrest me. I wouldn't lie to you.
He seemed to be pretty sober in that moment.
I'm sure he was sober, but you still, I mean, look, man.
He doesn't need alcohol. He has rage-a-hol.
He is an angry
dude,
man.
Dude, he has so many defenses to that. Self-defense is one, they didn't see it. He could have been drunk, so he couldn't have formed the necessary intent.
And actually, conveniently for Ronnie, he ran so fast, the cameraman couldn't keep
up. Well, we don't know that, actually, because the cameraman's just got enough distance so he
it
can
was
see
a little
him.
Weirdly cut, like
they
you did
cut away.
They did
yeah.
cut away
cut
from
away.
It. And honestly, like a camera, I'm sure he's got like a DV cam that
yeah.
has a large zoom on it. Like, why is the guy
I'm
just
sure,
running after
because
the cops?
It's better.
Like,
it looks better footage.
I know it looks better,
him.
But I mean,
I'm sure next week there'll be we'll actually see footage of the fight. And then we'll find out whether Ronnie got like,
it is possible,
raped in county.
Yeah. It is possible that the footage of what actually happened was sealed by the court afterwards.
That
if
could
they,
be, yeah,
if
yeah.
during the show's post-production that the court ruled on that, so they may not be able to show that. But you would think they would put a disclaimer like, we were unable to show this footage.
Why bother? That just gets in the way of the entertainment.
Yeah, I mean,
just don't
just
mention
saying,
it.
It's possible that they could have sealed
it. Don't many people
it.
Want to find it. Just be like, we got the best shit here, right? You know, it's right there in front
yeah,
of you.
It's yeah,
the
it's
best
possible.
Shit.
It's
what I don't want, as much as I love these people on the Jersey Shore.
Never to go away.
Well, no, I mean, yes, I don't want them to go away, but I also don't want a Jersey Shore 2.
Well,
I don't,
even with
I
a different cast, like...
No, okay. So
even with the same cast is what I meant? Even with the same cast?
You can't bring these people back together again. The
magic's
yeah.
not...
You
the,
could bring back
already,
Grandpa Situation and Snooki Grandma. You could do those two, and that would probably be...
No, that is just going to be fucking Saved by the Bell, the new class. I don't want that
yeah,
either,
yeah.
all right? The problem is this group of people has already demonstrated that they hate each other.
That's true. They do all hate each
other. I mean,
other.
Like, they do kind of... They're all kind of friends, and, like, as we saw in the preview...
It's
like,
getting worse.
Like, the Situation and Snooki kind of make up, right?
I hope they fuck.
But the right relationship now. Between at least a lot of them has really gotten to the point where it's untenable.
Ronnie took, you know why
right?
he decked that guy with one blow? He was like, that's the situation.
Right. But,
yeah.
but
that's who I want to hit right now.
So you can't bring these people back together, right?
Yes.
If you bring in a whole new cast of people, right?
Yeah.
What was beautiful about this show is it's like a generation of kids that are completely reality show aware, right? So they know how they're, quote, supposed to act, mm-hmm. right? But for once in their lives, they weren't constrained by the roles that they're all supposed to play vis-a-vis the real world. Right,
right? Having seen a previous version
right,
of their
own
show.
Right, because on the real world, right, they're supposed to be the gay guy, they're supposed to be the militant black guy, they're supposed to be the intolerant guy, and everyone's supposed to work out their problems and blah, 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 right? But here are people that know, like, that they're supposed to put on a persona for the camera almost, but it's like these are people that put on a persona every day of their lives.
That's true.
Right? And then their interactions with the audience around them at the shore and with each other, it's like there's a lay of artifice to it, but then there's also just like...
This is who they are.
Their id just can't be contained, and it just comes out, right?
No, I think you're right, and I think that if they did do a Jersey Shore 2, which I'm sorry to tell you, they're going to. The show has been very successful. But if they do a Jersey Shore 2... I'm sure that they, you're right, it won't be as good because the people will all be trying to like find like, oh, I'm going to be like Mike the Situation. I'm going to be like, you know, the innocuous Pauly
character. Someone's going to have a fucking stupid ass nickname.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What they need to do? South Beach.
No.
That's
what they,
all gays,
what they,
dude. What do you
Or Cubans.
What they need
that's
to
a,
do.
That's a fiery combination.
What they need to do is either your idea, Eric, which is next season come to LA.
Exactly.
And do Armenian Bros
or Persian Bros.
Or alternatively, the greatest house of all, half Armenian Bros and half Persian
that
Bros.
That would be the best house ever. The only thing that would make that house better is if it was a third Persian, a third Armenian, and a third Turkish. Just because, not just Turkish people are like bros, but just because Turkish people are
they're
absolutely hated by Persians and Armenians.
Yes,
like really bad. So
well, they're genocides, to be fair.
Really
anyway, Turkey should not kill any more Armenians.
I think it's a good idea for
sure. I think I'm going to start an LLC next week for just for this purpose.
Yeah, I think you should.
God bless.
And I will also sign on to this LLC. I will buy into
Why are you all looking at me?
I think you should as well.
Yeah, if I generate some revenue, which is still not a sure thing, we can talk at that time.
You know how you could generate some revenue really quickly?
Porn.
Sucking dick.
You
that,
could
yeah, that too.
You could write a movie that is a thinly veiled adaptation of a Disney cartoon.
Yeah, that's true.
Which one is this one? What are you talking about,
Howard?
I'm talking
perhaps
about
Pocahontas.
Yeah, I'm talking about Pocahontas 2.0.
No. That's Fern Gully, please.
Revenge of Fern Gully.
I hate that the aliens won in that movie. I wanted them to all die. No, the Avatar, man.
Fern Gully. Dude, I wanted to burn down their planet.
You know what I got to tell you? I did think when I watched the first Fern Gully, fuck these fucking fairies, man. That sounds really bad.
We're taking
that
out of context for sure.
That's just gonna be a sound drop. I need to fucking make that a sound drop later.
Sound drop for sure. But anyways, let's.
I think we should talk about Avatar because we've talked about one thing that all three of us love,
right.
Which is Jersey Shore.
I hated Avatar. Don't start saying that.
I went in expecting a lot.
Oh, it's unfair
to
say I hated it. I didn't hate it. I just didn't like it. It was okay.
I'm in between because I really, really, really want to see the director's cut. I'm like, I might even buy the DVD to see the director's cut and to see them fucking.
What's
on the director's cut?
It's just longer. It's just more.
Wow, that's exactly what that movie needs is more
hey,
length, dude.
For me, I actually would love to see another 45 minutes of that movie. I want to see what they cut out.
No,
that's
ridiculous. I was really okay.
45 minutes of what? What is going to happen?
Do you want to see him training more?
I want to see more of the world and the story.
What about the world is interesting?
I don't know, Eric. I don't know.
See, this is...
Did you hear about these avatars? Yes, I did. Yeah,
the avatars?
We do. Dude.
Avatar Blues?
A really good friend of mine was telling me she put that on her Facebook, and I was it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, these...
I refuse to believe that's
an actual phenomenon. I think it's just like one or two people that posted something.
It might be.
And then some hack journalist...
But see, it's a similar phenomenon in some ways to the people who get like obsessed with... Men who are obsessed with World of Warcraft. That's exactly what I was going
to
say. Yeah. And they're like, I want to live in this
world.
I want to
live in this world where I can be important and meaningful.
I mean, the whole thing that's...
And I'm like, it's a poison atmosphere where everything wants to eat you.
Not only that, it's just like, it's a ridiculous thing that like everybody's... It's like the Harry Potter thing.
You know,
everybody's
you know,
like, I want to live in a Harry Potter world where there are Hogwarts. 99.9% of the population is not a magician in that world.
Yeah, guy.
It's treated as absolutely worthless.
Let me tell you what this actually tells me.
That's what it is.
Harry Potter's a racist.
This actually tells me that all white people really want is they want to subjugate a native people and become their king.
There is something really hot about doing that.
What do you mean?
Everyone wants to fucking be the last samurai. Everyone wants to dance with the wolves. Yeah. Everyone wants to become the king of
the fucking native women and making the native men worship you.
No, but they're identifying.
That's all that he wants to do. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, hey, look at me. And they denounce me.
What are you talking about?
You know, this is how we roll. This is how we roll. We roll into this new country and we're like, hey, here's my white cock. And they're like, I disavow that. And then you fuck their women. They get angry. But then you save them from their enemies. And they become
Which is really you. You're like, secretly it's me.
Shh, don't tell them that.
But see, that's not really true though, man. See, this is such a simplistic view of history, man.
I'm not just talking about film.
I'm talking about my fantasy life.
Well, but in films though, everybody, you're always, in Avatar certainly you're made to identify with the non-humans. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has a ridiculous psychological conceit that this guy who has been human for 35 years or whatever and is completely totally human just abandons his culture like that.
Eric, the problem in like Avatar, Last Samurai, Dance with the Wolves, it's not that you're not meant to identify with indigenous people in the film. They're obviously cast in like the best light, right? Yeah. It's the white invaders that are cast in the bad light.
Right.
The issue is that in all these films, these native people are dependent on like the one lone white guy that joins their
side to resolve
all their problems.
That is true.
Right?
I write movies like that too.
I know you do, you fucking imperialist fuck. But like, if Sam Worthington, whatever the fuck that guy's name is, in Avatar, if that guy wasn't around, they would have all been like horribly slaughtered.
They'd all be dead.
Although I guess to be fair, if he wasn't around, they wouldn't have found out where that like super holy place was or where the tree was, so the whole plot wouldn't move forward. But
no, I mean, but
quiet.
But the truth is that
you need to have a human character for humans to identify.
I agree with you. It's just the problem. If Avatar existed in some sort of a vacuum,
right,
it would be like it would be less objectionable, I guess. Like in that particular aspect,
I don't think it's objectionable.
It comes on a long history of films. Right?
Like Lawrence of Arabia, my favorite movie.
But that's why Dances with Wolves is a good movie, because in Dances with Wolves, they A, don't rely on him completely, and B, even though he's part of their society, he's unable to save them, which is much more realistic. You can't fight this monolithic culture. It's just a superior culture. There's nothing you can do. No, I don't mean superior in a... I don't mean superior in an ethical sense.
I'm like choking
sense.
Them. I'm like, wow.
No, I don't mean
well
superior
put,
in an ethical
white
sense.
Man.
What I mean is White power. I don't mean superior in an ethical sense. I mean they have the technology,
right.
The cultural background.
We have the force.
For example, the humans in Avatar, all they do is come in and mine. They build a school, but you never hear them sharing their music or their cultural stuff. Yeah. That would be great. Because the humans have to be all bad.
And the weird thing is that he paints them in such stark light.
Yeah, it's
and
ridiculous.
They're completely. It's completely uninteresting to me.
I mean,
yeah,
but
part of
it is interesting. The thing that really stands out to me
CCH Pounder
is the voice of the Queen of the Na'vi, right?
She's
like the black
not
woman,
not the body, just the voice.
She's the black woman on the shield. Yeah. For those of you that don't, right? In this movie, to like just accentuate like the otherness of this race, she has like an African accent.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. There's all these things that are coded to make
they
you
did have
that,
weird
like,
accents.
Like these are
a
tribal people.
And when you think about it, it doesn't make sense because he has learned the language secondarily.
Right.
So he's the one who should have the accent, not them. You know what I mean? Like, but anyway, it doesn't make sense.
It's all a matter of perspective. And what I would love to see just taken away from Avatar is some movie that or story of any kind that's popularized. That makes the white folk effectively be the minority that's oppressed and exploited and taken advantage of.
And you mean like Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe?
Oh, do you not know what's going on over there?
Oh, you mean currently Zimbabwe?
Yeah, currently Zimbabwe.
Oh, well, that's... Yeah. There's not a lot of story to that.
I know what you mean. But that is a... Yeah, I know.
But
okay.
where they're not... And not necessarily even the good guys. They're just they're the people who live here.
Well,
and in comes this force that then takes over their land and takes their holy relics and takes their women and then they like them.
But the truth is, history is much more complex than even we like to believe.
Of course.
Throughout the whole period of the 80s and the 90s and even the early 2000s with the strong political correctness, we've all been taught that the Indians were sort of the victims and they were helpless versus the white people who were evil and took them over. It's not that simple. I mean, obviously, yes, the Indians were victimized.
Simple,
but
no.
They're, for example, if you look at a culture like the Aztecs, they were an awful, horrible culture. The reason that 100 guys...
But the Incans weren't.
Yeah, that's debatable. Cool. But anyway, the reason that 100 Spaniards were able to defeat millions of Aztecs was not only because they had a bunch of advantages, it was part of it, but it was also because the other Indians that had been subjugated by the Aztecs fucking hated the Aztecs.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing with the Mayas, which you see at the end of Apocalyptica, by the way,
which is the coolest thing about that movie.
Yeah, not a good movie, but it does.
Cool, like, little historic
And
vignette.
Also, another thing that Avatar didn't do is, it was like all the blue people were like, we're all together
They're
against
all,
the invaders.
Yeah.
That's bullshit, man. That is. I
Dude,
mean,
it's because the fucking white man got the super dragon.
White
when
guard.
You have the super dragon, right?
A white guard showed up,
super
dude.
Dragon.
I'm flying on his white dragon.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
he
true.
Just whited that out.
That's true. He's like, yeah,
I
don't know.
It's, when you look at it that
I, like,
way.
I can't even think of like a modern day cultural equivalent where like you just show up with this thing and people would be like, well, fuck. Looks like
yeah.
I'm
Well, no, well, that
You're
happened with
the FDS.
That
one.
Happened, no, that
yeah.
happened with the Aztecs. If you remember that Montezuma was
yes.
supposedly had a dream
right.
that Quetzalcoatl was going to come down.
With a beard and shit.
No, no, but I mean, like, I just mean like our modern culture. You
yeah.
know, like what could someone just come down from the mountain that would just like unite like
yes.
every American?
Yeah.
And, like, we
Jesus.
Will follow you.
The actual Jesus. There,
well,
the man
bombing
came
Pearl
out
Harbor. Bombing
yeah.
Pearl Harbor kind of united
that's
everybody.
That's a foreign force coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what's our super dragon? Like, what could someone.
We're all the same culture, though.
If Jesus flew in, it was like, yo, guys.
But see, that's a good example.
From dead, and he healed. And he's like, "What's up?" He's wine from water. And like then, you people will be like, "Whoa, shit."
Maybe, but I mean, that's a good example because
that's about
we're,
it. That's
we're all
Batman.
The same culture, and these people are all different tribes. We're all it's the same tribe, and yet we're all Americans, right? And yet we're
well,
divided.
I mean, they're all Na'vi. To me,
so
their cultural divisions, like it's like the difference between like red staters and blue staters, or even like
not even. I mean, they
but
didn't
why
even,
though?
They didn't
that's,
even break that down. They're like. This is the guy who's fucking her, and the white guy comes in and starts
no,
fucking
no, no,
her.
No,
he's
no,
angry.
No, no, no.
We're talking about the little glimpse you have of the other
yeah,
tribes.
Yeah, where they're like, there's a
well,
cliff dwellers,
oh,
and
yeah.
there's
the ocean
tribe, yeah,
and
the
desert
tribe,
and forest tribe, and they all want to work together.
But that's totally, the problem with that is it's totally against every precedent
maybe,
in history.
Maybe they're all much like the Germanic kings of Europe, and they were all related. And, you know, like, they're all, like, nieces and nephews
and
of each
fought
other.
And they've fought each other constantly.
But then, let's just, this, like, fantasyland, the Aztecs invade.
Right.
And they're all like, fuck, let's get these Aztecs with their laser
right.
guns and spaceships.
Right.
And then they band
Space
together.
Aztecs.
Based on blood. Fuck, I can't keep it up.
See,
I can't keep
that
up.
The other thing that doesn't make any sense is that I guess maybe the Na'vi are not, you can't apply human nature to them. But one of the things, the
aside
reason.
Aside from their incredible similarity.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, exactly. I guess the way that you could explain that away is that these people are all theoretically like linked up on some sort of like super like social like
the
brain.
Internet.
Right,
the internet
I guess
planet.
So, yeah.
Like the natural
but
internet.
But they're not.
Right?
You have to put your dongle in someone's head to brain rape them.
Yeah. You have your USB stick out of
that's
your pocket.
Right.
Yeah, no, but if you fuck a tree, you find out what everyone else on the whole planet
Only
has ever known.
If the tree wants to tell you, it might mind wipe you. You got to be careful.
Look.
Dude, I love that the whole culture is based on mind rape. That basically, I have no problem with wiping out the Na'vi because their entire existence is about plugging in their dongle to some creature, raping it, and making it their
No,
bitch.
You bond with it.
You know,
uh-huh.
One thing that's interesting.
Mind rape.
One thing that's interesting that has been explored in science fiction that I was kind of wondering if Avatar is going to do, but it failed to. Are you guys familiar with the Gaia theory? Do you
yes.
know what this is? The living planet?
Yeah. Yeah.
And one
I
thing,
assume that's what this is all about.
But part of it's a planetary consciousness. The planet is actually sort of semi-conscious.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that in some sci-fi you've seen is that the planet has a connection with the people because the people are like the planet's immune system.
Yep.
Their job is to kill any invaders.
Yes.
And the planet helps them to do that. Or it has like... You know, so I thought they was going to do that, but this
yeah.
movie totally didn't do that.
Well, I
well,
bet
I mean,
you,
it kind of does that
you,
at the end.
No, there's no sense that the planet
they,
has any.
Yeah, it does. They call the tree.
Yeah,
the tree is their culture, though. That's their history of all their ancestors.
No,
but
Sigourney Weaver
really doing.
Says that everything
right.
in the whole planet is connected. Like,
right.
even the blades of grass, like, hold data,
right.
basically, is what she's saying.
Ridiculous,
right?
Yeah.
And so she's saying, I mean, basically, the whole planet is basically a giant hard drive.
Right.
And you can plug into it and... And
mind
basically,
rape.
That's true.
Mind rape.
You know, they entered the cheat code, and then the computer was like, "I recognize you."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Entered weird six-legged animals.
Oh, but look,
why
here
does
comes that white guy?
They're like, "This is how we make it alien. We'll just put two more legs on." They're like, "Horse."
Yeah,
alien
but
horse.
Notice that the actual bipedal people are basically the same as humans.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it
always
makes,
the
it
case.
It makes no sense.
Ridiculous. Because it's just too hard to...
They're
well,
blue.
Also, when they're screen capping humans, I mean,
uh-huh.
they're motion capping uh-huh. humans. They can't have, like, crazy shit.
I recognize... Just you also wouldn't want to see the sex scene between a four-legged creature and a human.
That might.
Because you can see that in Mexico.
Oh, God.
All right. Anyway, and I'm the racist.
You love that.
Anyway, I will fall somewhere in the middle of Avatar. I recognize how horribly cliche the story is, but I think it's a testament to Cameron's craft.
How the fuck does he keep
that? The guy is, I mean...
How does he keep doing this?
He makes... He's a cash machine, man. I mean,
how does
he
do that? I mean, I don't just mean, like, the monetary thing. Like, when we were in that movie, I walked in. I was probably the most cynical person of the four people that walked in.
And I pumped you up, too.
And he tried to pump me up, but I was
like,
fuck you.
Make him even more cynical.
Right? And we and the entire time we're seeing that movie, like, I don't think I checked my watch once. And that's usually my barometer for how much I'm into a movie. How many times do I see, like, how much longer does the movie gonna last, right? Yeah. I was just into it. And, like, I knew what was going to happen. I was like, yeah, that person's going to die. And
surprise!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, they died. But I was like, oh, they died. Like, you know, like, it just the way that he told the story was captivating.
He's got a really short clock. Every scene is tight. It's incredibly tight. For a long movie, it's incredibly tight.
And he does a lot of visual stuff. Like, even at the beginning, the first opening shot where you see the space station.
A little dot of water. The
giant space station, right, where the humans are coming to rape the planet. It starts up, you see this giant pair of balls, and it pans up to a shaft.
I don't know if I agree with this, by the way.
No, world, and just in case you world. Miss it, just in case you miss it on that first pan, the last, wide shot of that space station is framed in a way where you see the balls and shaft, because they're like, guess what's going to happen to this planet? We're coming to rape you.
I don't know if I buy that. I think that's just your
own personal. No, because
the reason
why I attached myself to this reading is that Cameron has designed the spacecraft in a lot of his films, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had some hand in this one as well. And one of his early films that he worked on was a Roger Corman movie, right? Like a very B-level movie. And he designed all the spacecraft for it. And the lead craft in that one was one that he had the biggest hand in. It was like the Amazonian Queen or some shit like that. And it's shaped... From the right angles, it's shaped like a vagina.
Certainly possible.
It's not an accident that this raping station is shaped like a dog.
All right. I don't think that was a station. But that was a ship. Remember, they said they were on it for six years.
But like, that's the thing that takes them there, and then they shuttlecraft down. Right. But like, the fucking raping station is here.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. Sure.
Anyway, you know...
Avatar. It's all about rape.
You know who else is all about raping?
No.
Jay Leno. Because he's a dick.
Yeah. I don't want to say he's a dick. I mean, I would probably do the same thing if I was in his position, but...
Well, would you?
The way he treated Conan is not acceptable.
Well, okay,
did you see the Jimmy Kimmel thing?
Yeah. Wait, that was good. That was some class.
Yeah, I mean, it was
ballsy. That's how you give it back.
I mean, he's going to... Jay Leno's going to take a lot of shit. He's going to be persona non grata in the comedy community.
As I explained to you earlier, that was also Jimmy Kimmel just giving Jay Leno a little bit back from early in Kimmel's career when Kimmel first started out. Jay Leno would threaten to blacklist guests if they appeared on his show. So, they would cancel literally, like, day of. They'd be like, I can't go on your show now. Yeah. Because, like...
That happens all the time in the industry. But, I mean...
But if you're Jimmy Kimmel and you got this chance to just fuck over Jay Leno, like, how do you not take it?
Well, he didn't fuck him over. But, I mean, look, I think the way that Conan has been treated... And it's not fair to pin it on Jay Leno completely. NBC is really behind this.
It's not Jay's fault.
Leno doesn't snap his fingers and...
Jay did.
Yes, he didn't stand up.
He's a company man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not only that, he's out for himself. He didn't stand up and say, no, listen, I gave up the show and that's it.
He's a company man. They asked him to do something. He did it. Then they asked him to do another thing and he did it. He's not interested in anything else other than being in the good graces of the people who employ him.
Well, look, I mean...
Which is fine.
Listen, I feel bad for Conan, but like Conan said in his own letter, I mean, he's not exactly living in fucking Somalia, you know, poverty. He's going to be okay, but, I mean, you know, I don't know what he's going to do.
He's going to be $30 million okay real soon.
Yeah, it's hard to... Also, he has to face a stark fact, which is that he tried, regardless of how much chance he tried and failed to take the Tonight Show, which is... Yeah. And he's the only one in the history of the Tonight Show.
I blame NBC for that.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, if you look at Leno, the start of Leno's career, though, on the Tonight Show, he had a similar trajectory.
Yes, I agree. And they have to give the guy a chance. Yeah. They do have to give him a chance.
And Leno actually almost got fucked over, like Conan did, where they were going to bring in Letterman.
I'm not saying that it's that Conan deserves that reputation. I'm just saying he's going to have the reputation of,
He'll have to face it down.
You know, which sucks. I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but look, what can I say? I don't know the ins and outs of it. NBC is the stupidest network ever, dude.
Well, it's
they have a terrible show. The reason this has happened is because the Jay Leno show, which was every primetime slot, was horrible, and the local affiliates with the 11 o'clock news, where they make all their money, we're going out of business if you don't give
the
us
the 11 o'clock news and the morning news. Shows. And we don't get any of that now because you fucktards put Jay Leno on at 10. Well, that's fine. Good job, NBC.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's NBC's fault, really. It's not Jay Leno's fault. I mean, it is his fault that the show sucked.
Jay Leno is, faulted for taking the deal. He should,
I agree.
Truthfully, he should have said, look, I'm at the end of my career.
I'm going to bow out gracefully. Yeah,
I'm going to let this guy finish what he signed up to do, what I signed up to do.
But you have to know, you have to know that celebrities, sports stars, if you look at sports stars, they don't retire until way past their prime because it's so hard, man. I can't imagine what it is as a 30-year-old effectively kid. Like, I'm just starting out in my career. Yeah. I can't imagine what it would be like
almost
to
over.
Be 60 and face down the fact that you're almost – I mean, that's why guys like Rivaldo, the famous Brazilian soccer player, he's playing in like – he was a star player. He's playing in like the third league in Brazil. He's like 39 years old. He's doing that not because he needs the money, not because he wants the adoration. He just doesn't know what else to do. Like, it's just – you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's what is Jay Leno going to do? He's going to – he doesn't have any kids.
He's drive a car.
But that's what I'm saying. He's just going to polish
cars.
Well, I mean,
you know, he could do what Seinfeld
I agree.
You know, produce shows
right.
Or
I'm not saying objectively. No. Listen, I'm not saying objectively. I'm saying if I'm Jay Leno, this is what I'm thinking to myself.
Right. Everything else is step back.
The only reason I fault Leno is that I feel like because he went through this exact process himself, right? He of all people, more than anyone on this planet, should understand what Conan's going through. And I can understand on some level, like not wanting to go away. Because if he just goes away, it's he failed at this 10 o'clock slot, right? He has no chance for redemption, right? So I can understand on some level, like you don't want to go out like that, right? But if you do go out like that, especially the way that things blew up, he can go out like a hero.
Yeah,
you know,
he's being remembered forever.
He's being the elder statesman of the comedian set, right?
No,
and then you know he's always gotten that criticism since he's taken over Tonight Show that his material has stayed and it's not edgy and funny anymore. He can go out, he can reinvent himself again as a stand-up comedian. He can do movies, he can do whatever he wants, right? And he's got more money than he could spend in his lifetime
and more cars.
My response to that is, you know, look at Dave Chappelle. He had a super successful show. He left, gave it up, and he's done. Done. Now, obviously, part of that is because Comedy Central and Viacom are pissing him.
20,
but
30 years.
But what I'm saying is, his career's totally over. He has he's nowhere. He's nothing. He's never going to be again. You never say never.
I don't think so. I think he'll
never
have his chance.
Eddie Murphy reinvented himself. John Travolta reinvented himself.
But Eddie Murphy's career is on the rocks too.
Yeah, but he did it 15 years after he did it for 15 years.
Eddie Murphy had a huge peak and then he fucking disappeared from the planet for a while, right? And he fucking like fucked that tranny and did all that crazy shit,
right?
Allegedly.
Fucked that fucking tranny.
And then he came back with Nutty Professor and the Clown, and he had a huge
career,
right?
Yeah, doing kids movies. Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I agree.
And he had another huge...
The tranny fucker did kids movies.
He had a
movies.
Huge resurgence. He was incredibly popular. He probably made as much money, if not more, than he made in the 80s, right?
Just voicing Shrek probably
made
a ton of money.
And then now like his movies are kind of on the decline again, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that you can't really count somebody out.
I understand what your point is, but you have to understand, when you have a chance and you don't take it, that is a major risk, and it's very scary.
And I
agree with you that Jay Leno could have earned so much cred with the community, the comedy community, by just saying no. But the problem is NBC is now saying, look, we're not having a good Tonight Show. It's losing the Letterman, and it's losing the fucking Jimmy Kimmel. We need Leno back when he was number
one. This past week or two, he's been doing very, very well.
Well, that's because of the controversy, but he's done it.
Well, there's also an interesting article, I think, at Slate, where they're saying that Conan works best when he's the underdog. Like, his style of comedy and the way that he does his monologue.
Self-appreciating.
Yeah. But he does it in a way where it doesn't seem whiny, right? But it works best when he's kind of, like, the scrappy guy that you're rooting for, rather than, like, hey, I'm the guy on top. You know, and he kind of has to, like, reinvent himself for that position.
I just don't think
he's
all respect
to
Conan,
like
I just don't think he works at the 11:35 slot. I don't think he's right for the Tonight Show. I like his show. I just don't think it was ever going to work on that slot, man. It's a different audience. It's a different appeal. I just don't think he's right for it.
He should have been on CBS. He should be replacing Letterman. His kind
maybe,
of humor is
but
much
let,
more.
No,
Letterman's
I
a darker,
no, but
more cynical kind of guy. And
to some degree,
I mean,
that's true. But Letterman also does bits. He does bits.
And Letterman's also a lot more folksy than Conan.
Yeah, exactly.
Letterman is more than Jay Leno, the true successor to the way that Carson used to do.
Right. That's absolutely. And Carson himself wanted Letterman to take over the Tonight Show.
He's got like a very warm, folksy persona, but he's not above completely fucking with his guest.
Right.
But
he's a meaner asshole than Carson was. But Carson was also could be very cutting as well.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you can't compare to Carson. It's like comparing somebody to the Beatles. I mean, Carson's the greatest who will ever be, but I
he's
mean
dead.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Devin's like, moving on.
Moving on.
Moving on, Grandpa.
I think it's a terrible situation. If I was in Conan's situation, I would be ready to choke a bitch. But, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do.
I think he's going to go and it's also
made much worse by the fact that he took a whole bunch of people and said, we're coming to L.A., and I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And now he's basically like, well, there's nothing – and there is nothing he can do. I mean, was he going to pay the salaries for years of all these people? He can't.
I mean, someone did point out he could have just taken the 1205 slot.
Yeah, but – you know what though? Take 1205. He's.
I mean, he does have an argument that that would probably ultimately end up killing the show.
No,
he's
the guy that killed the Tonight Show. Wouldn't want that job.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know, in terms of like the people that you brought from the East Coast with you,
I'm sure he talked.
I'm sure his attitude is, look, we're gonna find something. I'll take care of all you guys. I'm gonna get a show.
We'll get a show at Fox.
I got $30 million.
That's what he should do. If I was him, I would go on Fox and just do my thing. Yeah. Just go on Fox, man. Fox needs a show, and he's right. He's better for their audience.
Or whoever will pay him a lot of money and give him a lot of exposure.
And actually, if he goes on Fox, he'd get a half hour lead in on every other late night show.
Right. Exactly.
Why? Because they do.
Because Fox 11. Does 9 to 10. Their prime time is 8 to 10. Then they do hour long
news
from 10 to 11, and then 11. And then I'm sure.
Or they could put something in at the 11:30.
But you'd lose too much of your audience.
You'd want to do it earlier, or something. Yeah. So you could kill everybody else. That's how you'd get the share.
Yeah, the only problem
just
is
go watch Conan.
If everybody else is watching the local news, which a lot of people do like to do, especially the Tonight Show audience, they like to watch local news. But he would get a younger audience like that. What he would do
is what he does.
His current show, like the 18 to 24.
Conan, if he stayed, if they give him another year or two, would probably become the number one guy.
The problem
or number two for sure, but probably number one.
I don't know. The problem is
all those young folk.
That show. And I'm telling you right now, I think Jimmy Kimmel's show is really going to do well. I talk to people who are my dad's age and stuff, and they say, you know what show we really like? What host we really like is Jimmy Kimmel. His material is funny. His stuff is cool. I think he's going to be – because he's the right balance of newer humor with still that old style bits. And I think, you know, his show is good. I think he's going to do well. You know,
I will say that until Jimmy Kimmel did that thing to Leno the other night.
I didn't care. Now I care.
Well, I mean, he was almost not mentioned on any of the recaps
at all. That's true.
He got very glossed over, which I thought was very unfortunate for him.
Well, I mean, look, he is the young upstart, so that's what he's got to deal with. But also, I felt like Conan, like, his argument was a nice thing to do, but nobody fucking cares about Jimmy Fallon, dude. He's horrible. So it's like he should be immediately kicked off the air.
But he's
dude.
Doing the honorable thing. I wonder, because when I saw on – they both Leno and Conan did that double whammy on NBC – I thought they must have talked about what they're going to do.
Like it was a work? Like it was wrestling-style work?
This is what we're going to do. We're going to tell NBC that we're both out. Fuck you. Fuck you. We're done. And walk away. I felt that way. Hearing they were hitting NBC hard. I'm like, you guys, they're going to walk away from this together.
Just because Jay Leno told Conan that does not mean that Jay Leno meant it.
I'm sure.
And I have news for you. If you believe the rumors about how Jay Leno got the Tonight Show, he and his people are devious and not – afraid of a fight and willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
So
is that when The Late Shift 2 comes out, that is going to be the most
fascinating
movie
again.
Yeah, that is going to be fascinating. The Late Shift was a great, wasn't it an interesting thing?
I really enjoyed that. I hadn't thought about that for a while. I was actually just thinking about it recently because of all this shit.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's take a break.
Get up on your feet, get up on your feet.
And we're back from the break.
Ho!
We're gonna talk about some video games. It's been a while. But I thought we'd start with Eric's biggest gripe, which is very recently the Writers Guild of America announced their 2010 game writing nominations.
Jiho is snoring.
For quality in game writing. And your five nominations include X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Are you serious?
Wet.
What?
Which Call don't we play?
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and then Assassin's Creed 2 and Uncharted 2 Among Thieves.
Of those games, I would say I haven't played enough of Uncharted 2 or Assassin's Creed 2 to judge. I hear that they're good. Wet had a very generic kind of
what the fuck is
chop socky. It's
so,
a game.
So let's go through. Wet gets on this list because Elijah Dushku
right.
was the voice.
But Mickey Rourke was the voice in, whatchamacallit, the game that came out simultaneously with it, the Rogue Warrior. I mean, so what? I mean, Jack Black was the voice of Brutal Legend, which is a great written game, which is not on there. Lists like this really piss me off because they do a lot of damage to game writing because people see this and they
I'm not saying what's a good choice. I'm just saying that the reason it's there is because there's a sexy star that's at the lead, right?
Exactly.
Because it's called Wet. I wonder what it's references to. Vagina, I would hope.
No, probably blood is my guess. Probably both.
I'm hopeful it's
anyway. X-Men Origin match. Wolverines is because probably one of the writers of the movie probably worked.
Maybe
on it.
Yeah, that's possible.
Right, and then Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is there because it's the biggest fucking franchise in the world.
Did you vote at all for any of this shit?
No. This
is a Writers Guild.
Yeah. Are you? You're not.
I'm not in the guild.
Well, dude. I didn't vote for anything. Anyway.
But you wouldn't have had a chance. The guild has a separate video games division.
Oh, it'd be a WGA gaming writer.
Yeah, they have a separate thing, but they control it. Look, this is just a publicity grab. The WGA wants to control writing in games as well, and I hope they do not because they have done nothing but fuck me in my chances to try to get.
You know,
work.
I've been going through a problem where the amount of money that's the minimum for a treatment is a lot.
Unions exist for one purpose: to prevent other people from competing for work and therefore to drive up the cost of labor. It's no different than if somebody had a monopoly on any product. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Unions are awful. They need to – I just hate the WGA, man. Bad. Bad. They've fucked my career, man. I've had people tell me, like, a long time ago, like, where they've read my scripts and been like, you're awesome. We can't hire you because you're a white male. And it would violate our quota for the WGA rules. We can't hire you because the WGA would want a staff writer. Anything.
Yeah.
I mean, people, just anything. It's fucked me in my career, man.
You should try being Canadian or gay. That'll help.
I would try if I could, but I just can't do it.
I'm joking, but that's how I got in. My Canadian. I'm like, I'm going to go work in Canada. And then they just auto in because I go to WGC.
That's cool.
Auto in the WGA.
Anyways,
for all you Canadians out there.
Nice. That's a sweet little loophole.
That's a good loophole.
It's not a loophole. It's a treaty.
Well, anyways, the choices that they put here, we should probably talk about, are generally, they overlooked really well-written games like Brutal Legend and especially Batman Arkham Asylum, which was an extremely well-written game. They overlook them because they just don't know they exist. They talk to some intern who knows a little about video games, who went to like the best marketed games.
They sent their 17-year-old female intern Best Buy.
To be fair, Uncharted 2
got
fucking Game of the Year nominations for pretty much, the actual award for pretty much every major gaming outlet.
I understand that. I'm not saying all their decisions are bad, but I'm saying there are games missing from this and there are games included in it that are ridiculous.
And everybody blew Modern Warfare's cock.
I mean, Modern Warfare is a terribly written game with ridiculously bad dialogue.
You know how much I hate
that
game but can't stop playing it?
Well, you are a hypocrite. That's actually on my
multiplayer is different.
My call sheet says Nevin is a hypocrite.
I am a hypocrite. I have no fear of my
because,
own failings.
Look, Eric, I will grant you that multiplayer is different from the single player campaign, but he railed against the multiplayer.
I hate it.
Yeah.
The problem was I started to get good at it. Well, first, I just got angry and bitter. And then I started to get a little bit okay, and then I couldn't stop playing.
Anything that you listen, it's okay. Anything that you get involved in and that you put time into working up and getting better at, you're going to want to do. I mean, that's fine.
And you know what? I really miss running around shooting people.
Yeah, that's fine. There are many better games to do that in, though. But
first-person shooters that are somewhat realistic.
What do you mean somewhat? Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is the most unrealistic game.
You just
ever.
Do it in hardcore mode and one bullet kit, and that's the only thing I want. Is one bullet killing people.
They're better than
you'll know that's so unfun that your cousin won't even play with you.
He won't even play that with me. Well, he's no good at that version. I'm good at that. I'm decent. I can play at that version.
But see, it's also, you play with a rarefied group of people who all probably suck at the game, and you just think you're good. But if you went into a real regular server, you would get fucking annihilated.
I don't have the skill. However, when I quit the matches where the guys are like 24-3 kill, like, fuck, quit. Yeah. Out. Fuck that shit. Everyone's at like 12 to 11. That's what I want. Where I can get my 15 to 10 to feel like a king.
That's horrible. That's ridiculous. That's why I like, you know.
3-2, man. It's all about the 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, look, whatever you enjoy, then it's worth it. You shouldn't feel bad about it. I mean, whatever you enjoy, then play.
I feel my brain is eating its heart, is eating my heart, where I'm like, I want to play, but my heart says no, my brain says yes.
I just think it's a bad game. I mean, that's just me, but whatever. Anyway, but the fact is the writing is bad, and it's a shame because a lot of games that have very good writing got passed over, and they should get this kind of mainstream recognition for having genuinely good writing, and they don't. It hurts the game. It hurts the writers. You know, it makes it, and by praising bad shit, it just fucks up everything. You know, it's much worse. So it's
part of the course. I mean, to be fair though, do you think really in the gaming industry the writing would improve because like things that are nominated for
over time?
It can't hurt, man. Time, and also effect. Think about the fact you're rewarding badly written games with better sales and publicity. So what's going to happen is games designers are going to say, we want the writers from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 to write this game. Yeah. And then you just get shitty shit.
But I think that would happen regardless because
they made a lot of money.
People want anybody that did anything on Modern Warfare 2. Yeah. You know?
I understand that. But this is just one more nail in the coffin. I mean, it might be nice if the Writers Guild recognized Batman or Brutal Legend, and then the writers from those games said, hey, these guys write cool stuff. It's getting recognition. Well, let's try them out.
I mean, but does Tim Schafer really need any more recognition?
But that's not the point, though. I mean...
But my point is that, like, Tim Schafer, as a comedic game writer, right, is probably the most acclaimed writer, living comedy games writer.
What has he done?
He did, like, Psychonauts. He did Grim Fandango. For gaming nerds, he's like a very, very big name, right?
Okay.
Yet he still has difficulty getting work, right? And it's not for any lack of praise.
Yeah.
He's gotten mainstream praise. He fucking hosted.
That has to do with the fact that most of his games didn't sell well. And Brutal Legend, by the way, sold
very
poorly.
At the end of the day, it's none of these awards mean jack. All that people care about,
what
all that people are going to look at is.
Look, awards in general are ridiculous. I mean, the whole Golden Globes, Oscars thing is just a way for Hollywood to just promote themselves. It's a preposterous
thing.
It's actually
a way for the networks to save money.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So anyway, but
The original Oscars were to promote.
Oh, that's why they started. Basically ways for us to promote our own stuff and our own people.
That's for awards for ourselves.
It's a Pro Bowl for star actors and directors. That's what it is. This is a Pro Bowl for them. But anyway, we can harp on this for a while. I'm big on getting games mainstream recognition and having them have a level of quality that deserves it, which I think for the most part they don't have now in terms of their writing and content. So this type of stuff pisses me off, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of used to like this scrambling desire for mainstream attention just from.
I'm not scrambling
years.
For it. That's
I mean,
not
no,
what
I mean, just like
I don't think games deserve it now.
And years of reading comic books, like that's like you know, getting a mention in Time is like the biggest fucking thing ever, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like. At the end of the day, like, your average comic or your average video game is really no better or worse than your average piece of mainstream culture.
Yeah, but like, if you get enough mentions in Time magazine, then somebody makes a movie out of your comic and then you're fucking
right, but no, but look, that's not what we're talking about right now, right? Like, what I'm saying is, like, your average video game, in terms of how stultifying it is to your mind or how poorly it's written, is really no worse than 2.5 Men.
Sure.
Right? Well, on a continuum of quality.
Why do you gotta hit on Charlie Sheen?
I mean, it's...
Because he tried to fucking stab his wife to death. I don't know. Allegedly.
Quiet.
That may or may not be true, that's no reason to praise bad things and
no, I'm not saying that we should...
I don't think that's the debate. I think the debate is, it's okay. It sucks, but it's okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. It is what it is. It's just it's a fucked up situation. It's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I think things are going to exist in some sort of a cultural ghetto forever. I think that's just the way they are. Games are going to be in a cultural ghetto. Comics will always be in a cultural ghetto.
Because of the way that we consume and that it's a mass market society, the niche has become very... the niche markets have become very hard to hit because there's not a lot of money in it. And the big money goes towards the lowest common denominator and the most buyers. These awards are hitting.
If you want my opinion, a big problem and one of the big reasons that high art is sort of got this monopoly of ridiculous shit that nobody wants one of the biggest reasons is that art has been co-opted by government-funded things like the NEA and the NEH.
I would disagree with you.
Which force people to pay for art that they don't want. You and I are paying for somebody to spread shit on a canvas and put it into a museum. And that's not what people want. If you want art and comic books to be more successful and the comic book artists to be more successful,
I don't think that has a significant effect.
Oh, I absolutely disagree.
I don't. I completely
because
agree with
you. The people who have...
It's not for a lack of access to these materials.
That's not what I'm saying. The people who have control over the intelligentsia and the critics are the ones who now have control over the money to fund art because they are the same people who are in charge of the NEA and
NEH. You're just saying that the modern-day patrons, just like they were in ancient Rome...
There's no patrons. We are the patrons.
Exactly.
We're paying for
The modern-day patrons happen to have a different... There's a different kind of gatekeeper and a different type of intelligentsia, but right now there's always been some exclusive group that have some way, some form, monies that they probably got from some other way that they got it, that they choose to... find us the shit that they like.
But the difference is now the people with the money are not the ones choosing. It's the people who have the university degrees and who are connected to these societies that make these votes.
And I just shrug.
And by the way, people are now far wealthier compared to people in the Renaissance. The average person is far wealthier and could easily buy paintings from an art show if they were good.
And the difference is that my folks aren't going to commission a movie. Back in the day, they might have commissioned a shit ton of paintings. And there is
what
a
do you mean? There,
in terms of the relevant the like the relative the relevance yeah. the relativity of one's wealth to their ability to consume in modern art.
Okay.
The
movies
only places,
are not funded by the NEA and the NEH. That's a different thing.
You're talking about art in all forms.
I'm talking about painting
and
art.
And the individual market for someone to go higher on art. Well, actually, I've bought art from my friends. I've paid $50 for their photographs. So I think there might be two markets, more or less. There's the market for the average everyday person who actually does consume art.
Uh-huh.
I know a friend of mine has her walls are just covered in fucking stuff that she's bought.
Great.
And she's bought it from eBay, and she's bought it from people she knows. And I know artists who are, you know, the quote-unquote starving artists who sell for $50 something that they worked on.
Right.
And they can earn and work inside that niche, and they have their own hip world, and they're making art.
If you don't
paint... They're not making a $5 million piece of art, but they might one day.
If you don't paint paintings that the people who are in charge of these things say are good,
but that's
you're
always
fucked.
Been the
because
way.
This no, it hasn't always been
it's
the way.
It's always been if the people who control people who define what is good don't call it good,
right?
People won't buy it.
Well, that's possibly true, but the fact is that comic book artists, realistic artists, people who paint realistic paintings and draw realistically, can only get work in comic books now, which is a low-level thing, because the people who are in control of the whole artistic establishment, I mean the education of artists, I mean the art societies, and I mean the government societies.
I dated a girl who went to a fine arts academy, and she hated that she was trained to produce a certain thing.
Exactly.
And
the truth is
that if
the people really wanted that stuff, you wouldn't need the NEA because you wouldn't need... Does anybody believe... The whole idea of the NEA is that it funds art because it would go away if there would be no high art if there weren't for the NEA. Does anybody really believe that? You yourself have said that you as a common person buy art.
I buy
so
art.
What
I
is
buy
the purpose
I buy
of
art
it?
Off the street.
Except to create, again, it's another form of a union. It's a way to protect, for these people to protect their shitty art and make sure it gets funded and their friends get funded at the expense of everybody
else. If it's a racket, it's a racket. I don't know enough about it to call it a racket.
Any government organization.
Well, that's your opinion.
Of course it is. They use force to extract wealth from one group and give it to another group.
Every time.
That's what it is, man.
I'm not a libertarian. I'll never be a libertarian. I like the use of force to make certain things happen. I do.
Okay.
No, I do. Absolutely. Right. I absolutely do. I like that Ronnie.
Boring.
I like that Ronnie.
Boring.
I like that Ronnie is picked up off the street and put in handcuffs. I like that.
What are you talking about? That's not the same thing.
It is. You want anarchy. You want a lack of use of force.
I'm talking about they're initiating force. Ronnie,
I'm so bored by this conversation for like the 100th fucking time. We get it. Blah, blah, blah. Eric doesn't like the government. Blah, blah, blah. Nevin likes it. Blah, blah, blah.
We were talking about art and I made a point about that. But I was addressing...
Shut up, Howard. It's our show.
I was addressing Howard's point about the fact that he feels that it will always be in a ghetto. And I was just saying that I disagree because I feel that there are factors contributing to the ghettoization.
You mean comic art or video
abolishing
game art?
Abolishing the NEA.
I'm not saying that alone.
Ultimately,
is
that's not going to change.
That's not true.
D- do people buy Call of Duty because it's funded by the NEA or because it's incredibly popular and
it's not
and
funded
well
by
made?
The NEA?
It's not. It
that's
has,
different. That's a different
were,
thing.
You
we're talking
you
about
began,
high art versus pop art.
Look, you began
thing.
Your
no,
argument.
Every,
pop art was high art, and it still is to a certain degree. You can still there's still that room for what's his fucking name, the goddamn Madonna's and shit like that. But there's still room.
No,
for
no,
pop
not
art
pop art. The movement, pop art. I meant popular art. Not the pop art movement. That's a different thing.
But that
Lichtenstein, he meant pop art as a particular movement in the art and in the early 20th century. All right. Anyway, let's just.
But the point is, like, no one's going to point like the Spider-Man as art, right? Like, you might think that person's like a good artist, but like if you give the average person like a comic book, they're gonna be like, "What the fuck, dude? I'm a fucking grown ass man. Why would I read this?" Because it's considered to be for children. Yes, there are examples of comics that are clearly intended for adults, right? But the popular consideration of that medium is that it's for kids. The same thing with video games. Even though your average video game player is probably like in his 30s right now, if not late, like probably mid
late 20s, to mid 30s,
right?
Probably
even though that's the average gamer, right? Games are still considered to be a children's medium. And
although that's changing,
I don't know that they're considered to be a children's medium at all, man. I mean, there's a lot of mature games out there stuff.
No,
I mean,
but look, I'm saying to the average consumer.
You mean it's not taken seriously as an art form?
There you go. That's for sure.
Well, that's
my mom
true.
Won't watch animated movies. Refuses to. No matter how good they are, no matter how many ups happen, she refuses to watch animated films.
The belief is that the people that are 20 and 30 and still playing these things are like. You know, people that are
grow up, stop, right?
Okay, you should know. I mean, it's important. It takes a long time, but you know, because you played Assassin's Creed 2, that in medieval ages, artists, painters, and sculptors were not considered the way they are now as great geniuses.
I did learn that only from Assassin's Creed 2.
I'm just saying, I happen to know because I know Assassin's Creed 2 does this. You know that they were considered artisans, like blacksmiths.
They had a job.
They painted things. Fashion was the same way. It was a piece of shit until Chanel and those people came in and made high stuff.
Yeah.
So there's no telling what can happen. That's just absolutely not true. It takes a long time.
Clearly room in our culture for so-called popular art to become fine art. There is room for that to occur.
I mean, if you took a frame...
It happened with movies.
Listen, if you take the cover of a fantasy novel, which are always these very... no, no, seriously. These very, like, intricately
Boris
drawn
Vallejo
stuff.
Shit. Yeah.
But if you take one of those... Or you
My
take Harlequin a great...
romance novels?
A great,
which
a great frame... if you take a great frame of art from... You know, like a Dustin Nguyen watercolor frame from one of his comics. Mm. And you take that to somebody who's sight unseen. It's not a superhero. It's just a frame. And you send it to somebody and you stack it up next to a painting by Leighton or other or one of the Pre-Raphaelites or something like that, a realistic painter.
There.
Your average person may say, look, that's just as good as this.
Sure.
There's no reason why that is. The only reason is it doesn't sell because these people are forced into this
media. It's the preconceived notion and the you know, the shit that comes on top of it. It's the meaning that's put on it.
It's not just that. It's that people are told by an establishment that...
That's what I mean when I say...
Black squares on a canvas is art, and a picture of Spider-Man swinging through a building is not art. And that's bullshit. That's just, you know, that's bullshit. But anyway, I don't think it's always going to be that way. And I think the same is true of video games.
And it's very fluid. It is incredibly fluid what is art.
I mean, TV for a while was just a throwaway medium.
Correct.
And now you have shows like The Wire, or other shows on HBO or other channels.
But I would argue to you that those shows are by far the minority of the program.
That's true of any art form.
Of course,
that's true of any art form. The by
the vast
far the majority
of Renaissance paintings were shit.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say they were shit.
I agree, but I'm saying that like television, like films, most people consider like.
The higher
art,
form.
I agree. There's art films,
and then there are
films.
Yes.
Right?
That's true.
Correct.
And so it's
rarely do they cross, but they do almost 3 or 4 times a year.
Right. But it's just the same thing's going to always be true of comics. The same thing's going to always be true of video games. There's going to be art games, and there's going to be, like, fucking Call of Duty.
There's shit like, and you know, weirdly enough,
sure.
One of the most recent...
But these certain mediums, like comics and video games that are subject to these cultural ghettos have, like, this obsession, like, this need... to gain some sort of acceptance within the mainstream of like the entirety of the medium. And the thing is like the mainstream does accept your medium. It just doesn't accept that everything in your medium is art.
No, I don't think anybody's asking that. But the thing is that the problem, the way that gamers, game designers and comic book creators feel, I think, is that no matter what they do, it won't be considered art by the mainstream medium.
And you know what? I'm fucking sorry,
but Spider-Man isn't art. Spider-Man,
nobody's saying that it is.
No, but like that's what
It depends what you mean by art, but I know what you mean. You're saying it's not high art. I understand what
right,
you're saying.
But like, there really if, is a if comic book artists want to make high art, they can. If comic book writers want to write
art, they can. They can't because they can't get paid. Can. They can't get, make any money. They have to make a living. And they can't do it because...
What's the old joke about Van Gogh or whatever?
That's another good example of an establishment that crushed somebody. That's
but
a great example.
But wasn't Van Gogh actually earning a pretty damn good living?
No, he was broke
there
as
was
a
either,
joke.
It was either Van Gogh or... there was another one contemporary around that time of Van Gogh, who everyone assumes is
Well, Van Gogh lived with Gauguin. He was also not... I mean, he had money from his marriage, but he was not well off either.
There are art comics coming out of Random House. There are art comics coming out of, like, major publishers right now. Right. Right? If you can't make a living doing art comics right now, it's because you're shitty at it. It's
but,
not because you can't.
But, Howard, the difference is this. The Twilight novels are pieces of shit. They sell a lot. But that doesn't negate the fact that David Copperfield is taken very seriously as a piece of art. People are able to make that connection.
But people can do that right now. There's...
You have to also
they
understand
can.
That
what I'm saying
not
is that it's
everybody
gonna take
can
time.
Appreciate quality.
And the truth is that most people most people, like Schopenhauer said, the ability to judge from one's own resources is the prerogative of the few. The rest are guided by authority and example.
Yes, we're all
we're
most
is,
cattle. Most of us are cattle.
The truth is that is only true because of society, but
we are human.
But what I'm saying is people are not sheep in every aspect. They know their own stuff. But In art, a lot
sheep.
Of people don't know, and so they look to somebody else.
There's a wondrous variety of the things that make us up. We are often sheep in certain places, and in other places we're definitively our own person and our own opinions.
That's right.
In the things that we value, we tend to be us.
Right.
But we might also be tribal.
My larger point was this. As these media penetrate further and further into society at large,
yes,
more and more people will feel that they have the tools to designate what they consider to
sure.
be good and what
and
not, and they'll become more expert.
Bring it back to the WGA
Awards. It's a Malcolm Gladwell type of a thing. But
bring it back to WGA. All those fucktards who bought Call of Duty 2 and thought it was fantastic and really did think it was a wonderfully crafted story with these incredible ups and downs and just just hot in its own way, high art for its genre.
Right.
They're going to be right soon.
What do you mean they're going to be
because
right?
Because they will manufacture, by virtue of them being so many of them,
you will. They will. They will never be right.
The concept for what is well, but see the
one
in terms
thing
of
that
art,
has been proven
art
by
is taste.
No. One thing that has been proven
taste.
One thing that's been proven by history is that posterity will weed out the shit. No matter what happens throughout history,
you know what?
there are very few examples of shit getting through hundreds of years.
I appreciate, and I've been getting into the game, of course, because then I hate the fuck I get into the game. For all of its flaws, it's an incredibly well-made game.
I'm not saying it's a bad game.
And there is a lot to be said for it.
But that you just switched the point. You were talking about that people will determine that it's art. I'm saying posterity will end that. It is not a game that will be considered... In 100 years from now, nobody will
Let me propose that because there are so many people who have consumed this product and probably consider it excellent,
sure.
that will become... It might be 100 years from now. Who will care? But let's just say people 100 years from now cared enough to bother.
Right.
I would imagine that will have a shaping effect on that point of view. Just as what was considered as by the market of its time in the Renaissance and
Look,
by
taste.
The people who shaped taste then, what was excellent then is what we judge was excellent then.
Not necessarily.
Do you know
taste
what I mean?
Changed.
Do you know what I mean
when Shakespeare
I
was writing, after a couple hundred years after he stopped writing, he was basically unknown.
But listen to what
Mozart
I say when
was
I say
unknown
that.
For a couple hundred years. Taste changed.
And there's
man.
Room for that, to for things to cycle around.
It's not that they cycle.
Back,
the best things rise after time.
But
even if you try consciously to put them down, you can't. Because the truth is, the truth always will come
Does
out.
Does that mean that ABBA is actually brilliant?
Yes.
This hasn't been long enough yet, but...
Probably.
No, because when ABBA was initially out, they were panned for being incredibly campy, but in the past decade...
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about hundreds of years,
the
strength not is, 10 years.
Our culture for, 40,000 years, more or less, was incredibly static, and then for the past 2,000 years, it's been fairly fast in its evolution.
That's true.
And we're seeing it become exponentially more... The change over time, that change is coming quicker... And our opinions are becoming way more fluid. And that's why I go, when how many millions of people bought Call of Duty, my great sorrow is that they will actually, for the next year, two, three, or four, which is really valuable time.
It's frustrating, but that's the way it is.
Shape that value.
Look, a lot of people buy Miley Cyrus albums and think they're great. That doesn't mean it's good music, man.
Sure, sure.
It's very rare in history when something genuinely good becomes also genuinely marketable and popular. It's actually become more common as the markets have opened up around the world and people are more exposed to things.
However, people still like... Well, I don't know. I mean, I popular culture has been incredibly popular everywhere.
You know, what's popular now...
does that mean that it is devalued
Not at all. It's just that the effect...
All right, I'm tired of talking about art. Let's talk about games. let's talk about something that is...
Why do you have to interject like that? It's so rude.
I hate you. Let's talk about something...
Jesus, you're going to take that, Eric?
Stop hitting the table with your empty bottle.
Let's talk about something that's decidedly not art.
All right.
But
vagina. Let's talk about vagina.
Let's talk about vagina, in fact. Let's talk about Bayonetta.
I love vagina. There's not enough vagina in that.
There's not enough naked vagina. They certainly do show you a lot of her vagina.
A cooch. Yeah. I think dressed vagina is called cooch.
Okay.
I think it's crotch when it's not naked. It's just they show you her crotch.
Well, I want to feminize it. My clothed phallus.
Phallus?
My clothed phallus is a crotch. Right. Her clothed vagina is a cooch.
I don't think that's the proper use of that word, but that's okay.
I'm just going to cut this all out in post. This whole discussion is gone.
Let's keep on. Okay. Anyway, listen, I have not played Bayonetta, so please tell us and tell the audience listening how good it is.
Bayonetta is rather excellent.
Cool.
It is...
I check my iPhone.
As Nevin checks his iPhone because he's bored, because he hates Bayonetta, because he hates America.
I can't even understand what's happening in that game.
Bayonetta is an action game wherein you play a witch... who I think works for demons. The story is almost incomprehensible.
I don't know why heaven has all these
weird
monsters.
I
want to
say that I did read the Wikipedia entry on it, and be it that Wikipedia is pretty unintelligible in general, the story from the Wikipedia plot entry was basically impossible to make sense of.
It's really hard.
This is as far as I can figure out the story. There are two groups of people that keep the world in check. There are sages and there are witches. And mm-hmm. sages control the light, and witches control the dark. And at some point, the light side, I think, decided to wipe out all the witches. And mm-hmm. they did, except for Bayonetta and her friend Jeanette, who I think is maybe not her friend because she keeps trying to kill you.
But we don't know.
But we're not quite sure. And then, so Bayonetta got thrown in a lake, and then she got pulled out at some, like, indeterminate time. And now she has to kill angels so that she doesn't get dragged down to hell, I think. And these appear to be Judeo-Christian angels, and maybe you're going to kill God, but I don't know because I haven't quite gotten to the end of it yet.
We don't know. There's definitely no, like, humanoid angels. They're not really hominids.
They have, like, weird eagle faces.
Yeah.
And they look real creepy. But they're, like, clearly, like heaven angels.
They're, like, Evangelion angels.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, got it.
But it's just, like, everything in the game, it's, like, you, when you first look at it, you think it's all style over substance, right? Yeah. Because, like, she's doing all these, like, crazy-looking combos. And she, like, whips her hair around, and a portal will open up, and she'll get kind of halfway naked, and then... because her clothing is her hair, right? And so a portal will open up in the sky, and a fist will fly through made of hair, and she'll be, like, partially naked because she's teleporting all her clothes through. You know, and all this stuff is having these bright colors everywhere, and, like, you know, rainbows shoot out, and weird shit happens all over the place, right? And you're like, what the fuck is this game? But underneath, like, this incredibly nonsensical, campy story, right, is this very complex and deep fighting mechanic system where you have kicks and punches, right, which are your two, like, attack buttons. And you can assign different types of weapons to your feet and to your hands. And different types of weapons will have different effects. You can build combos, so, like, you know, three punches and a kick, or two punches and wait half a second and a kick. These will produce different types of results.
Got it.
The way that these types of games generally work is you build up a combo meter. So the more times you hit an enemy... the more points you get, and you can exchange points for new weapons or outfits or whatever the fuck you want.
Cool.
But what makes this game unique is, unlike something like Ninja Gaiden, where when you are fighting an enemy, you can either parry their attack or you can block it, right? And if someone is attacking you, it will generally break your combo chain, unless you, like, roll away like in God of War. What this game brings in is it actually builds in an evasion button into one of the triggers on the controller. And if you are holding down an attack and you evade, and then you attack as soon as you come out of the evasion, it continues your combo chain. Mm-hmm. So you can theoretically build a combo chain that is, like, infinity long.
Right.
Which actually adds another layer of complexity to the game, and you can actually, you know, get into these really cool fights. The other thing that it does is every time you avoid, you do an evasion, like, right before an enemy is about to hit you, it'll activate Witch Time, which is just their version of, like, slow-mo
bullet time.
Bullet Time. And then, you know, that also helps you build up your combo chains. You can run from enemy to enemy and whatnot. So there's, like, this depth of fighting system that actually adds a lot of replayability, even though you're kind of facing the same basic enemy types over and over. You know, each
similar
fight...
Similar to Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, exactly.
Of.
Yeah, and, you know, the fighting system is also kind of similar to Batman, where Batman you had you know, you would beat up a dude and then you would roll over to the next guy to keep your chain going.
Press a direction and it goes to the next guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, in that one, it felt relatively fluid, but I never felt like I could get my combo to go super high.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And it was really hard to get the sense of timing. On this, it's super easy because of that evasion button and your ability to like just chain things straight right out of it.
Right.
And what's great is you could do, you know, usually what happens, let's say you hit like four punches in a row. The first four punches will be regular punches and the fourth one will be like the giant fist from the sky, right? So, you know, you'll hit a guy a couple of times and he looks like he's about to swing his axe at you. So you'll evade the axe. And then if you hit punches, you come out of it, that fourth really heavy hit will come through.
Oh, cool.
So you're never really just kind of like pinging a guy to death and never really getting like the strongest hit in. At the same time, this makes it so that the action on screen is like incredibly frenetic because they're never worried about throwing like eight or nine guys at you at once because they know that because of this evasion button, you have a lot of abilities to like jump in and out of the fight.
It seems really fun. It sounds like from that description, it sounds like a really fun game. I definitely would love to try it out.
Yeah, it really just tickles a particular itch of mine, and you know, I prefer.
Oh, it's a very popular game. I
prefer third person fighting over first person stuff as opposed to you guys.
Well, no, I don't necessarily. I mean, for fighting games, I definitely prefer third person. But I mean, shooters, I don't know.
Third person is a sin before God.
No, it isn't. Let's talk about since we're here and it's the first podcast of the year. Let's just briefly talk about what we think our games of the year would be. Since we're here.
God, I don't know.
For 2010?
For 2009. What were your favorite games of 2009?
I don't know.
Ratchet and Clank.
Crack Altitude.
Yes, Ratchet and Clank, Crack in Time.
What's Altitude?
Altitude, the game I purchased on my Mac is a 2D scroller where you fly around an airplane shooting other people who are other people playing the game.
Oh, that's cool.
And you level up and you get new airplanes and you make your own little airplanes and you fight.
So you're being genuine. It's genuinely great.
That's probably the game I've played the most this year. Certainly the most I've played recently. And I can play it for 5 minutes or an hour.
Cool.
It's right great.
On. That's cool.
It was $15. So it was the best buy I've ever had. That's so great. Much better than everything else I purchased this year. It's fantastic.
That's really cool.
Second best game, probably Borderlands.
Yeah, Borderlands is, I think, maybe my favorite game of 2009. But in terms of sheer hours I put in, I mean, Dragon Age, I put a lot. I already have 80 hours logged in my first playthrough.
We put a shit ton of time in Borderlands.
Borderlands, I don't have anywhere near as much hours on it as I do with Dragon Age, but I have played a lot of Borderlands. It's definitely one of my favorite games.
It's been a long time. I spent way more time than I wanted to.
But, I mean, there have been a lot of good games this year besides those. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe it's very hard because you get this kind of dilation of opinion when you're talking about something that you're playing currently. I mean, I'm currently playing Borderlands and love it, but I may not have the same opinion of it as I would, you know, 6 months from now. But I think it's a great game. It's really well done. I liked Left 4 Dead 2 a lot. That was a really good game.
You guys really jumped off that train really fast.
We did.
Though. Especially like considering how long you guys
Borderlands?
No, Left 4 Dead 2. Considering how long you were playing Left 4 Dead 1.
Yeah, like Left 4 Dead 1 is a superior game. I mean, the Left 4 Dead 2 is a very good game. It's a very good game, but it's not as good because they changed some of the mechanics, and everybody really wants to love it and think it's better, but it's really not. Left 4 Dead 1 is a superior game. Also, part of it is because the concept in Left 4 Dead 1 was so new, and people hadn't done it. Now they're a little more used to it. So I would definitely not choose Left 4 Dead 2 among my games of the year. It's still one of the best multiplayer games that you're ever going to find. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's just not as good.
I really love Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
I think what tempers me from picking it as Game of the Year for me is, number one, Super Street Fighter 4 is coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know, is just going to be better, in theory.
Yeah.
And my other problem is that I really enjoy playing Street Fighter 4, but everyone online now is at a level that is beyond me.
Exactly.
And so I can't really go and play it. And you are probably the only like peer that I see on a regular basis that is like that plays at a level that I can like be competitive
exactly.
at. Exactly. Like if Nevin and I play, I would say eight out of 10 times I probably beat you.
Which game is this?
Street Fighter 4.
Of course. Probably 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
And the 10th is because you fucked up.
I mean, I haven't played it in a while. I used to be quite good, but by quite good, I mean quite good for an average playing.
I mean
some of these kids that play on there, they just combo you. They one-shot you. I mean, you're just done. So,
that really shouldn't temper my opinion of the game, but it tempers my ability to enjoy it in the
absolutely,
long term.
Without question. And it's
I feel like if we had more friends that liked that genre and played that genre more often, my long-term enjoyment of it would probably be different.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, Street Fighter is a great game. But I hardly ever pick fighting games as my games of the year for that exact reason, because they require a continual time commitment, almost in the same way that an MMO does. You have to continue to be good.
Yep.
And really practice. Like,
which
so,
is what I loved about Call of Duty in the old days.
Well, Call of Duty is all an all right game. I would definitely wouldn't
not
put
the
it anywhere near
not,
my
not
current.
This one, but I
oh,
mean,
the original Modern Warfare is a classic.
You just have to play it all the time to be.
But
well,
that's true
as
of any shooter. If you want to be any game, basically, if you want to be in the top, you have to
play all the time. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean the reason I pick Ratchet and Clank is I played through that game 2 full times.
Yeah.
I've
already almost played through Borderlands twice. It's such a good game.
I almost started a third playthrough. And the only reason I didn't is I had other things that I wanted to try.
Right.
But I just never grow tired of that game.
I really would love to play that game. I know you're a huge fan of the series. I've very little familiarity with it, but I know it's good. Nevin's sort of making a...
Well, and Nevin, you enjoyed the story when you watched me play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
Would you say that was one of the best written games of the year?
I'd say so. Yeah, one of the better written ones that I played, at least.
That's cool. I would also want to put into the mix for best game of the year Resident Evil 5, which I thought was a fabulous game. Not just because it's a really fun gameplay and not just because of the campy story, but also did co-op really, really well. And that, to me, is great. It's really fun.
Well, multiplayer is always king for me.
I think the only reason I would hesitate to put that even in my top five of the year is that you had the fortunate luxury of playing it with James, I think you said, almost like the whole time you were playing it.
Yeah, that's right.
You're a pretty good partner.
I played by myself.
Yeah, it's not as good by yourself. Yeah, that's true.
And to me,
this was Resident Evil, African apocalypse, basically.
Yeah.
Black people.
Why
are
didn't
monsters.
You play as him? You were here.
I have no interest in playing that game.
It's a great game.
He had
man.
No interest in playing that game, and I also had no
you
interest
know how
in playing split
games.
Screen. You
know oh, split played. Screen. Yeah,
Howard is
right.
also like I have to check everything. I have to buy everything.
See,
I have
we
should have
played.
I'm
more your style of play.
The way that I play would drive Nevin up a wall.
I watch.
He goes crazy just watching me play.
But why, though? I mean, that's part of the game.
He wants to get through the story as quickly as
possible.
When I
play Borderlands, do I run down every little nook
and
cranny?
No, actually. Well, but yeah, but you don't have a problem with me doing the stuff that I do on Borderlands. We check stuff and we fight stuff.
When there's two people, I suppose, Howard is very special at this. You are more than happy to get in the back of the fucking pickup as I harangue you and laugh about it and go off on an adventure.
Yeah.
Howard, I think, would be like, no, I have to go get this, and I have to go get this. Oh, I got to go check the prices. And it would be and you know what? It might not even be any different from playing with you, but the focus, the purpose of the game would be shifted.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I want Shining Bauble.
But the thing about Borderlands... You don't want to give them up, and you want a fucking box to store them in.
Yeah, that's what pisses me off about Borderlands, is that I can't
you
save
know why
every
he
gun
play Borderlands
that I find.
Because
yeah, how could you do that?
You can't put them in a
the
little box.
The second playthrough, you can keep on expanding your inventory. So I now have like an inventory of like 65 slots.
No, what I want is God. I want them to give me like a storage locker where I can just go to like, look what I found. I don't want to sell you back any of this. I'm going to keep in this.
Yeah.
Never going to use it. It's like a level 1 gun, but it's mine. It's mine, and it has my name on it.
That's what he does.
The truth about Borderlands that to me obviates that, which is something that I also like to do, is that you know that the guns you're going to get are going to be so much better down the line anyway, but I'm still holding on to a level 15 gun with
no,
my level
not.
40. Yes, I am, because I want to give it to my other character.
Oh, okay. Well, that, yeah.
Yeah, I also, it's been like my lucky gun. It was like
my lucky gun.
No, there's guns that because of my abilities,
yes.
they've continued to be really, really good and useful through even much higher levels. Like, so... Borderlands is a brilliantly designed game. I've played a lot of it by myself. I think I would have really, really enjoyed playing with four
people.
Well,
I think I would have loved
I told
it.
You, I have a third. My buddy Brian,
well, why are we not
who listens
Let's
to
go.
The show. He,
Lambert?
He, huh?
Lambert? Wait, what's his last name?
Downing?
Downing. Why am I calling? Who's Brian Lambert?
And James said he might be
Brian
interested
Lambert
in it, but...
is a buddy of mine on Xbox Live whose name...
He constantly pops up.
Yeah.
Brian Lambert. That's why I know Brian Lambert.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he actually runs a really cool gaming forum called A Button.
Brian,
right on. Well,
you should
I would
play more with
I would
me.
Love to play with you guys because I mean, James said he would be willing to try it out if he doesn't want to buy it unless he feels like it would be fun to play single player,
well,
which is sort of
yeah,
silly.
It's fun to play single player.
I love
it's
single
so
player,
much better
but
playing multiplayer.
Well, I don't know.
The
I really enjoy
single
player,
player
but
was to play better with you guys.
I enjoy playing single player just because I feel like. It's fun to level up my guy and get new stuff and then come to multiplayer and
just
be
like
a fucking
Diablo.
Killer. Like, it's the same
this
game design
is Diablo.
As Diablo. Yeah, it is the same game design.
Yeah, I've
totally
leveled
Diablo.
Up my single player character to go and duel with you
it's
and
very
to go
similar.
On big adventures.
Yeah, and once we get to level 50, we can go online and start playing people in arena, which might be fun.
It's
but,
like Hellgate, but not shitty.
Yeah. It's a
like
very
Diablo 1.
It's a very well-designed game too, because there's so many different gun combinations. It's also very well done in that different corporations in the game, always their guns have the same characteristics, so you kind of like stick with certain corporations. An SNS gun. This is a gun that
you're all about the SNS guns.
Well, they have expanded magazines, which is good for my character types because I tend to shoot a lot, and also my abilities expand magazings. So it's like it adds to the strength.
The best ability
ever. Yeah, it's good. The problem with you're gonna have a problem with the
high end game.
No. The expansion, the Island of Dr. Ned is great, but there's a whole quest set which is like the longest and hardest in the game, where you have to collect zombie brains, mm-hmm. and you have to collect large numbers of brains. And basically, the only way that you can get brains is by killing them with critical hits to the head, headshots. Yes. And it's very hard to do with guns.
I can punch a guy in the head.
Oh, can you? Okay.
You think I can?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I've seen him punch brains out of people's heads.
Okay, yeah, I know it's
pretty great.
My guy. Part of the thing I do that's really fun about the game is really well done, and the expansion is great because it's all in this kind of gothic world where there's were-skags that you fight. Like, so instead of werewolves, there's were-skags, and there's vampires and zombies and Frankensteins and all sorts of
things. There's another expansion too, right?
Multiplayer. It's an arena. It's like an arena expansion.
Devin, go buy some Space Bucks.
I will buy Space Bucks.
I bought Space Bucks to download this expansion.
What I would need to do first is sign my deal, and then I feel like it's awesome to go have some little celebrations. And in the meantime, I need to level up my character.
Okay. Yeah.
If you had a PC and you had Borderlands on Steam like I do, we could play with all the dudes, like Chris and all those guys. By the way, when we're in a game, we don't have to play in a private session. We can play Xbox Live and let random people from the internet join our game. So we could play with four people if we wanted to.
We could do
and
that.
And might meet
Let's
some
try
cool
it tonight.
People that
Let's
way.
Try it tonight.
Well, I don't know about tonight. It's a little late. But
why are you being gay like that?
Well, no, I guess we could try it tonight.
No, I'll go play.
Do you want to do it tomorrow?
We don't really have time to. Well, I guess we could. Yeah, we can play a little tomorrow. I want to do a little work tomorrow.
I have to do work too. But
I need a little work tomorrow. But anyway, tell me we're winding down.
Yeah, our scheduling is not good for this blog.
Hey, podcast, guess what I'm doing tomorrow?
Cut all this out.
I'm cutting all this out in post. All right. Well, anyway, why don't you guys go play some Borderlands?
All right. Howard's going to go home and fuck his girlfriend. So we have to cut this podcast short. Even though we had a whole other topics on the sheet to talk about.
Why do we have... Yeah.
Damn you, Howard, with your hateration ways. Neither Nevin or I is fucking tonight.
Right. Well, while we're talking, okay, how about this?
Wow, he's been called out. He's gonna continue.
So while we're talking about DLC, why don't we talk about something that was posted up at Rock Paper Shotgun, which was their 10 Commandments of DLC.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'll go down there.
Is this gonna get me angry?
No. I think these are rules that they think everyone that produces DLC should follow.
All right.
So first is thou shalt not undermine the host game. That which we've achieved should still mean something, not seem lesser in the face of or be undone by what follows.
Yeah, I agree with that. The one good thing about Borderlands DLC is it's a true add-on. It's not like it changes the main game. Mm-hmm. So it's just a new area that you go and do stuff. I hate it when like DLC is necessary, playing the whole game.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I think they did something like that in Tomb Raider Underworld, where the only way you got to see the true ending of the game was to buy the DLC.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys.
Lame. Fuck them. All right, I agree with that.
Thou shalt not leave the host game with a cliffhanger that you intend to resolve via later.
Yes, that is. That's the same thing. It can't be integral to the plot either. That's terrible. I hate that.
Thou shalt not attach a price tag to small things that a free mini mod does or could easily provide.
Correct.
Well, this is the PC gamers' complaint, right? That this is why PC gamers on console are like, "What the hell? This is bullshit!" Like,
why am I buying skins?
They give you a new suit of armor, and you're like, "This would be free on PC, which is already cheaper anyway." It's like, yeah, absolutely, I agree with that.
Thou shalt not remove already created content from the host game to sell later, leaving obvious gaps and shortening the experience we've paid $30 plus for.
People complain about this with Assassin's Creed 2, that there's a chunk of it that's missing that you can only get via DLC, but...
I mean,
I don't know. This is a hard argument because not everything is ready to ship at ship time, and it's nice to have it.
I think as we discovered when we were talking with James last time he was on the show, a lot of times the only reason you're given a budget to develop that extra, 13th or 14th stage is because there's an understanding that you're going to be able to sell it down the line.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Sure.
And it wouldn't even exist without the money.
And it's one of those things that we as consumers in the market have real no way of discerning, right? Like, especially, what they did in Assassin's Creed 2 is they actually worked it in, I thought, in a fairly seamless fashion, right? I don't think you've gotten to the point yet, but there's basically a point in the end. This is kind of a minor spoiler, but...
It's okay.
Where you jump in time in Ezio's life. You jump from, you complete something and you go back into the real world and then when you come back in, there's a gap in the timeline, okay? And those spaces, they actually leave in that little DNA codex areas where those, like, chapters will go in later. Mm-hmm. And the explanation is, oh, something happened, you know, his memories got fractured, but, like, here, you know, here's what happened while you were out,
right.
And this is where you are right now. So, you know, if the idea is that, okay, we will give you a budget to make two more stages, but these stages are going to have to be DLC.
Right.
Considering that his story has a beginning, middle, and the end, I think the way that did it is much better. Especially just the way that the framing mechanic of the game is built anyway, is that you are diving into the memories of your ancestor.
Right.
Why couldn't you go into a memory from the middle of his life that you just didn't experience yet?
Right.
Mm. Right?
Absolutely. Whatever. I think it fits fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. And the thing about it is, about DLC adding to the game and stuff, it's always, to me, it's good if it's done well. I mean, the thing about Dragon Age's DLC that bothered people and bothered me a little bit is that it actually has a character.
Well, yeah, that's actually the fifth commandment, which is, thou shalt not shatter immersion by having in-game characters suggest you spend real-world money on downloadable content.
Yeah, that's a problem to me. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was an interesting idea, but they're going to have to find a way to integrate it much better into the game than doing that. I mean, it all goes to my idea of spending game points. So, like, you earn Xbox points in the game, or so it's like the whole Uplay system that do in Assassin's Creed 2. That would be cool. You know, you just spend game points you've earned in the game.
And you can either buy the unlock or you can earn the unlock.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I think I prefer the earn the unlock.
I mean, I think you
should. Not every kind of content can do that. You have to pay for
it. Well, if Call of Duty 2 or Call of Duty 1 allowed you to buy your max level and all the unlocked guns with all the kit, that would
suck. Not DLC, though. That's different than DLC.
Sure, but they treat it like DLC.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, DLC is really no different than expansions.
Or let you add an extra weapon.
You remember on PC games, this is kind of, you see this in World of Warcraft still. They buy stuff, you buy a CD and you download an expansion. It's the same thing. It's been happening in games forever.
Let's see. Thou shalt not break old save games.
Oh,
yeah, that's
God,
a technical issue.
Fuckers do that with patches, too. I mean, it's what happens.
That has not happened in a very long time in modern games, I don't think. I mean, I understand their complaint, that's true.
All of my Hearts of Iron games
have been
broken by
any
patch.
Hearts of Iron is ridiculous.
That shall not be features or content that the developers don't genuinely care about or want their fans to play. Be made with passion and purpose or not at all.
Yeah, I mean, the corollary to this, though, that's dangerous is that they make the whole game with passion and purpose, and they're like, all right, let's cut this chunk out and then sell it as DLC. That would bug me.
Yeah.
But I understand the business reason for doing that. But yeah, sure, I understand that. It shouldn't be something tossed off like the fucking horse armor from
Oblivion. Thou shalt not be more expensive than buying an entire other game.
Yeah,
I can't think of an instance in which
that.
If you totaled up all the Fallout 3 DLC.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely. But the truth about the Fallout 3 DLC is that stuff was genuinely developed after the fact, which is relatively rare.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you bought all 5 expansion packs, that's $50 that you spent. So,
that's comparable.
Yeah.
The price.
Thou shalt not split multiplayer communities by preventing DLC owners from generally playing with non-DLC owners or by granting extra in-game advantages to DLC owners.
Yeah, but that happened with, like, Warcraft.
Well, see, now Borderlands does a cool thing where they say if you join a game with somebody who doesn't have the DLC, you won't have access to it. You can still play with them, but you will not have access to any DLC stuff. You can keep your weapons that you got from the DLC area and stuff, but you can't go to the DLC area or do anything. That's cool. The problem is, though, this is a technical...
They could give you gear from the DLC area.
Yeah, because it's the same stuff. It's
just different stats on the
weapons. It's just randomly generated stuff. No, the weapons are all the same. But
Borderlands is almost a different experience, because the idea is that you are sharing in, like, a communal multiplayer experience.
Right.
Like if they release a map pack for Modern Warfare 2 and we don't buy it, then...
Can't play
it. Yeah, then that fractures.
But see, the problem is, though, technically speaking, that's going to happen because there's nothing you can do. Some people are going to buy it and some people aren't.
Right.
I mean, it's like, for example, let's say they had downloadable characters in Street Fighter. Or a great example of Street Fighter 4 is when you would play people and they didn't have all the characters unlocked.
Yeah.
So you would play against a guy who...
Too loud.
What are you doing? What happened?
All I could hear in the feedback was...
Great. All right, well, let me restate... No, I don't want that. I don't want that. Let me restate my statement. I was going to say in Street Fighter 4, for example, sometimes people would choose, like, Seth, and you would have unlocked Seth, so you just see a question mark. But you could still play against him. So that was cool, but I think in some cases, you know...
Map packs are a hard scenario because, like, what do you do? What recourse... If you want to sell map packs, what recourse do you have?
Yeah, you don't have one.
Maps should always be free.
Okay, that's great. I think everyone should have a free house.
Exactly.
But the point is that...
Sell me something else and give me my maps.
What would you sell someone...
Because that's where you play in.
What would you sell someone in COD if not maps?
The thing that would bother me
New guns.
The thing that bothers me with map packs
doesn't that potentially unbalance the game more than a map?
Yeah. Not if they do it right.
Anyway.
There's a shit ton of guns. You give me a whole bunch of new guns that I can't play with, they can play with.
Look, if maps don't have to be free, just you don't play on those maps. The thing that bothers me is, like, in Counter-Strike, there are certain maps, they don't sell stuff in Counter-Strike, but there were expansions that some people didn't have, and they intentionally held back maps that were redone versions of the really, really popular maps from Counter-Strike, the original Counter-Strike, and they're doing this with Left 4 Dead 2 as well, that they know are going to sell really well and that people are going to be superior to the other maps. That's bullshit. When you do that, you hold those back intentionally and then resell them. That sucks. But I don't know. I think it's impossible to do it. I mean,
why would you... If a gun pack didn't have a gun that had some sort of distinct advantage over another...
Same way that you buy skins or you buy armor for your horse.
I guess, break the game.
They add content that everybody can partake of, but only one player who's purchased it can use. That's cool. Maps, though, are where you actually play the game.
Yeah, but some people have some maps and some people don't have other maps. It's like downloading custom maps on anything.
On the PC, you auto-download that shit. If someone had a map,
they could sell
download.
Stuff. They could sell stuff on PC too. I mean, they don't have to give it away for free. They just happen to because they know the PC community won't pay for it.
Because that's the sandbox. The sandbox should be what everybody can get in the sandbox. It's the different toys you use to make your castle that you should be able to purchase.
But you have maps you can play with. You just can't play these new maps that you didn't pay for. To me, that's perfectly reasonable. I mean,
it just there's my opinion.
All right.
Well, and here's the last one. Thou shalt not be about bloody zombies yet again.
Just about every expansion pack is about zombies. The one for Borderlands is zombies. They're probably referring to the Call of Duty 5 Nazis versus zombies thing. That's a functional fact that zombies were really popular a couple of years ago. I mean, so I don't know. But hey, listen, if you have a Left 4 Dead expansion pack, you basically can't avoid that.
Yeah.
that's basically the way it is.
Yeah.
All right, guys, it's been a pleasure.
Yep. Let's call it a night. Go play some fucking Borderlands.
All right, guys. Good night. Thank you for having me.
We'll see you guys next week.